Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality and is about discovering your place in this great universe from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guest, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here this evening. Tonight, we are going to be talking about consciousness. What is it? How about our purpose? What is that? Our mission, what is that all about? How about self-love? Oh my goodness, we're getting into these words again, these labels, all of these things that everyone wants to be, to do, to find, and how much should I write out the check so I could find it today, and hey, I'm good to go, and all this other stuff that's going on around me, I don't have to worry about it anymore. You know, you can't buy consciousness with a lottery ticket, although so many people are really trying these days, and you can't turn around and say, I'm defeated because I can't find it. I don't know what the it is. What is that it? You know, everybody's looking and searching. Perhaps, as I've always said, might we say that our life is really about the experiences of saying, ooh, that looks interesting. Let me try that out. Oh, that might be it. Maybe I want to dance with that. And you'll go along and you find something different about yourself. Or you say, you know what, I never liked spinach in the first place, so I can check that one off my list. It's really about engaging in life. It's about being present. It's about saying, you know what, I want something. You know, that sounds cool. And to many of my listeners who say, you know, well, I don't get out that much. I'm not traveling to Italy. I'm not going to see the glaciers. And I have no idea what a Galapagos really is. You know, you can really explore the world from your living room. You can look out and say, oh, my gosh, I can see a spider web out there. Oh, look at all the dragonflies and how they every single day they end up on the wire, electrical wire from the house. Isn't that so cool? And I wonder, hey, it is really hot outside. How do they survive? It's just about being exploring in the ideas of the world around you, asking questions and saying that's really cool, observing what's there, and also giving it the perception, the life that it also needs. Today, my guest is Karen Noe. Her book is We Consciousness, 33 Profound Truths for Inner and Outer Peace. Karen, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, Karen, don't you think it's a wild run these days, yes?
Oh, yes. But it's wonderful. Let's focus on all the blessings, right? So many around
us. Right. You know, I think, you know, as I just said, I think there's so much out there. People are becoming frustrated. Some people are being joyful. And there's all kinds of the gamut, but I think that is all part of the picture in the first place. We always like to say, oh, we're only going to hold the light. But when something happens, we say, oh, but I can't be angry. I can't be frustrated. And you go, why? That's part of life too, right?
It is part of life. It's important to notice what is. But sometimes when you don't want what is, it's better to focus on what you want instead, if that makes sense. You know, something bad is going on around you, acknowledge it and say, yep, that's going on. And then you say, but I'd rather have this peace, love, all of that joy, you know.
Right. You know, I think sometimes when we say, what are we really seeking in life? You know, I think what we're seeking truly is to just sit still and just say, everything is okay. Mm-hmm. It is going to be okay. All is well. If I have pains in my knees and my legs, or if this is my last day at end of life, or if it is a day and you know what, things just aren't working out, or if it's a day that I'm just sitting in the sun, it's beautiful. In every single one of those instances, you have the opportunity to sit still and just say, all is okay, don't you think?
Absolutely. We could look at it from the positive or the negative. Just say, just focus on now, how wonderful it is. I like to be a human being instead of a human doing. Just be.
Yeah, I think so many times we want to have a to-do list. As I said in the beginning, how do I get there? How do I find it? You know, and what is the it? Don't you think? What are your thoughts on that?
When we're always focusing on what it is, what that we want, it's within us. We're spiritual beings having a human experience, and the energy of who we are is love and peace. We don't have to find it anywhere else. It's right within us.
You know, I think it's funny that we look at, I posted this the other night. You know, we see a lot of, we say, random acts of kindness. It's almost like they had to be pointed out to us by social media, because many of us don't even recognize that perhaps our mothers taught us to do that. Maybe we should be getting up and doing it, you know. You know, I live in New Orleans area. Everybody here helps everybody. We don't think about it, you know. But I'm sure if you go to a different area, you know, in the country, like I went to Chicago recently, it was like I went outside, you know, at a friend's house, and the woman in the backyard, she went inside, and I went, oh, okay, you know. And I think sometimes we say, you know, is it about just being there and being open to it also? You know, sometimes when we become so shut down to the world around us, or don't even recognize it or don't even know about it, is when really opportunities seem to drift away. Yes,
that's true. I was thinking maybe that woman was going through a difficult time or something like that, and she just needed to go inside. You know, oftentimes we have to see through the other person's eyes. What are they going through? Why did they just do that? I do that myself. I say, oh, did I do something wrong? And I went in the backyard. She went inside. I do it all the time. But sometimes, you know, perhaps, you know, she could just go inside and unwind or whatever.
Yeah. You know, I think so many of us in the professions that we are in now, I'm sure with yourself also, and many have spoken on the radio, we've all shared that there have been so many instances in our life, and, you know, so many decades that we've said, gosh, you know, things have really happened and it's really been a challenge, or things that have really been, what kind of stumbling block was that, you know? And we've had a lot of times when we've seen things or heard things or felt things, we kind of kept it to ourselves, or we kind of... I think we've kept the good things and we've kept the bad things inside, but we've also kept inside is the experiences of knowing others around us, like knowing the sense of, can I share more with the beings, like share more with the archangels? Can I do some more praying? Can I know that they're actually connecting and speaking to me? Can I know that there's signs in the world around us? We keep all of that inside, too. I think so much is being kept inside that no wonder we're in the phase of everybody carrying around green drinks to detox. You know, you think they would get the message that you're not just detoxing your body, you're detoxing everything, you know.
Right.
I kind of laugh. I think that, you know, with each decade we go with, we always say, what is the fad word for the day? And if we look at it, detox, it's sort of like, okay, detox really means open up. You know, it means, right. It means like, let's, you know, and by detoxing, we're drinking green drinks, which is a vibration. So we're getting more vibrations in there to raise our vibration. So can we pay attention to that? Yes.
Absolutely. When we set the intention of picking up on all of that, then you have to be more aware of what's coming into your path. Because when you put that out there, you're a vibrational being. That's like a magnet that's attracting like unto itself. So when you're thinking positively or thinking you want signs from the universe or the angels, when you say you want that, you're saying, come to me. And then the signs do come to you and the angels do come to you, but you have to be open to it.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.
Yeah, and also to recognize that anything, no matter what it is, I think we always sometimes want to qualify or quantify the way in which we expect or anticipate it should occur. And when that doesn't happen, we say, oh, I didn't know the angels were there. I had said it was going to be in a silver box with a purple ribbon on it, and I had to have a piece of holly on top, yeah. Right?
I have a funny story, if I may share, yeah. About that. One time I was going through, I always tell my friends and clients that you have to be on the same vibration as the angels in order to connect with them. That means raising your vibration, you know, be forgiving, practice compassion, et cetera, et cetera. But about 2 years ago, I was going through a difficult time. One of my clients was giving everyone a hard time, including myself, and I was having a hard time with that. You know, I'm trying to mm-hmm. forgive, just couldn't do it. I did forgive. I said it. But inside, you know, I was holding on
right.
to that. So I was walking my dog, Duke. I was outside, and I was in my mind. I didn't say it out loud because I was outside, but I said to the angels, I know you could hear me, but I can't hear you. I know you can hear me. I can't hear you. I was, like, yelling at them. But then I was angry at this person. And with that, I looked up in the sky, and there were clouds in the shape of an ear with a finger in it. And you know what? I didn't understand what that meant because I was ranting and raving and I was so upset and I was not on par with the energy of what they were trying to tell me. So I'm walking home and as I was walking closer to my house, I started to notice the pretty flowers and the birds singing. And I started to feel the love coming out of my house. So when I raised my vibration, and only then, was I able to say, oh, my gosh, they were telling me that they are trying to talk to me. I just can't hear them, you know, the ear with right. a finger in it, because I'm ranting and raving, and I'm upset.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the love of the angels, right? So if we raise
right.
our vibration a little bit, or even a lot,
mm-hmm.
we would be able to hear more from them.
Yeah, you know, I have another story. I lived in an apartment, and the upstairs people, they just, their kids, I mean, the noise is tremendous, you know, running around and constantly. And I would always say to the apartment manager, it isn't them. I don't know how to explain it to you because she wasn't understanding. It's not them. It's the noise.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, and I said, all you need to do is just ask them to take a lower apartment so they can enjoy their life. It isn't
right.
them. It's the noise.
Right.
You
right.
know what I'm saying? And this person could not understand it, blah, blah, blah. And there was just so much conflict. And it was like, okay, it's the noise.
Right.
And, you know, and then I took it a step further and I said, so what is the problem with the noise? And the problem with the noise was that I felt attacked. Because
right.
you would feel like that shudder, and I'm going, okay, so in your life you've been attacked. And I said, yes, in all of my lives I've been attacked. I get it. I got it.
Yeah.
Okay. But what next? And then kind of that lingered, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think the idea that sometimes, many times actually, people will say, but I still feel that. And I always say to them, it's okay to feel it because
sure.
when you feel it in its deepest and darkest, and sometimes it's really intenseness, you could say, you can come out of it and say, but this is really what I'm feeling.
Yeah.
And that's where the magic really happens. You know, so many times I say with the people, is they're saying, you know, they'll tell me a story and everything, but I'll say, but what really is it? You know, where is the it? And the it is usually, I just want to be loved, or I just want to feel peace, or I just want to be at ease, or I just don't, you know, I just want quiet, or whatever that might be. And when you can come to these very few, probably less than 10 words, you know, which our whole existence is based on, you can honestly say that, isn't that really cool that all of that other stuff is stuff out there, but really what I'm needing is peace. I'm needing
right.
ease. I'm needing quiet. And then to be able to be okay with that, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You have to acknowledge what's going on inside of you in order to resolve it. So, yeah, absolutely.
Well, I think sometimes we don't know that, though. How do you guide how do we guide people back to that space to be able to find that, right?
They have to ask themselves questions. What really, like just what you said, you know, what really is bothering me about that? The noise. I want peace. I'd like quiet. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I think sometimes we talk about consciousness, too, and we say, what really is that? A lot of times on social media now, people are taking the word and they're going full force with it. And sometimes you want to sit back and say, okay, what is the it of that? And is it what they're actually thinking, experiencing, or whatever that might be? However, we really just want to sit back and say that's their experience and they'll come to it too, whatever it might be for them, right?
Yes. It's different for everyone.
How do you define consciousness, do you think?
Well, I could define the we consciousness, but I came to know that well after writing the book. The we consciousness, it's an awareness of the unity of everyone and everything. And that includes animals and nature. The we consciousness, it includes our divinity, compassion for all of life. And most important, what a person does to oneself or another, how it affects the whole. So in reality, we're all connected. We don't realize that because we're separated by different bodies. But after we pass as a psychic medium, I know after we pass, we go through a life review where we're able to see how we've affected each person through their eyes. The reason being is because we are all one, and you could feel that oneness after the body is gone, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so many times people will say that they're over there. You know, we always say our family, our kids, like it's a possession, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You can even take it out to people will write something and they'll say, hurry up and put a trademark and a copyright on it because it's my intellectual property. You know, it's almost like you own it. And there's been times where I'd say the alphabet is 27 letters. Since the eons of us speaking, we've taken those 27 letters and done bazillion things with them.
Mm-hmm.
What do you own? You know what I mean?
Sure.
But I think what we really kind of sometimes misconstrue is that we actually have ownership, where we are kind of like living a silo, S-I-L-O, kind of life, you know? And that everything else is outside of us and it doesn't affect us, right? Don't you think a lot of people get kind of wrapped up in that sometimes?
That everything affects, in other words, you're saying that everything affects them, that that's what they feel? Everything's within ourselves. We're really not victims. When we take responsibility for that and understand we are in charge of our own lives, we could create miracles in our lives. We could create happiness, unhappiness. It has nothing to do with what anybody else is doing. It's our perception of what they are doing. So we could look at it half empty, the glass half full or half empty, but it's up to us.
When we talk about perception, people will say, well, what do you mean? Because just because that's what I see or I think versus what I feel. Aren't those different things?
Yeah, people could, two people, three people, four people can look at the same thing and see something differently. Really, it's amazing. Have different people look at that same object or person or event. It's just perception. How do you choose to perceive whatever you're looking at?
You know, it's funny. I have a bunch of stuff that I've written, and you talk in your book. Again, your book is We Consciousness, 33 Profound Truths for Inner and Outer Peace. You talk about letter writing in here, about writing a letter to yourself. And also, over the years, I've written so many things down, and in the middle of the night, I'll get up, and it's always something philosophical at 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, because I don't know where it comes from. Well, I actually do, but you know what I mean, is that I don't put a label on it. So I always say, well, I don't know where it's coming from or who it is. It's just whoever it is, go ahead, I'm writing. And I'll write it down, and you know, on my phone, and then I'll later put it out. And also, too, is that I have all these things that I've written, and I said, I had spoken with an editor, and she says, but how are you going to do this? And it's like, she said, you need to have a theme and you need to follow that theme. And I said, there is no theme. It's called life. There is no theme. The only theme here is that I showed up. And it's like, so it's like the book is like half done, and it's just, it could be a blurb on the page. It could be a word. It could be a sentence. It could be two pages or three pages with absolutely no semblance. And what it was is that that concept of what is my perception at that moment. You know, I think sometimes when we want to write things down, we're afraid to really let it loose. I think the elders, you know, were so eloquent with their calligraphy and how they wrote their letters. You know, they were so evasive. They didn't write their feelings. But now people are like, oh, give me a typewriter. I'm just going to sit down and I'll go to town on it. And it's about being able to put all that down, set it to the side and come back later and say, ooh, okay, I can look at that part of my life now, and I can say, at that moment, and then write that how you felt at that moment, and then when you go back, you can write on the bottom, reflecting on that moment, and then write something totally different. I think sometimes it's almost like doing, you know, when we say when you pass on, you'll have a life reflection. It's almost like you're doing your life reflection in life, yeah?
Yes, better to do it now. Don't have any regrets. Why do you have to wait till you pass away to go through your life review, right? Do it now and create peace in your life right here and now within yourself and with other people as well. By the way, your book, the title, wouldn't it be something like This Life? What did you say before? It's this thing called life. I loved it. I had goosebumps when you said that. It's this thing called life or something like that. Whatever you said, I said, oh, that's great.
Yeah, and, you know, and it's absolutely that. It's just so exciting, you know. I wrote it down last night again. I said, Dancing with Life, my existential experience. Because, you know, it's truly all about being in the, you know, I don't ever look back and say, oh, that was a bad thing. That was a horrible thing. It, you know that comment, if you could do it over? Why would you do it over again, you know? You know, it's like we can there's just so much. I don't know. I guess I just don't see that concept. What are your thoughts on that? I mean,
you know,
people
will
say, oh, well, oh, I should have, I would have, I could have. And it's like,
we didn't know at the time. I think everything's a learning experience that makes us become who we are today. And we wouldn't be who we are today if that didn't happen. It helped us to grow.
Well, we wouldn't have even had a story to say, though, right?
Exactly.
I mean, it's sort of, I mean, it kind of like,
right?
if you think about the simplicity of the words that you're actually saying, if, you know, you're telling a story and you say, oh, but I wish I didn't do that. And it's sort of like, well, heck, if you didn't do that, we wouldn't be sitting here talking about it.
That's right. And no one is perfect here. If we're here on planet Earth, we're learning.
Right. I think sometimes those stories draw people in to where they're able to say, I had a little piece of that myself. And that was what was I was holding in, you know. So I think that once we can break down the walls and say, I had all of these experiences and isn't that cool, then that's when it opens up others to be able to do that also, yeah?
To be able to say it was okay.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, I think, and Karen, also too, when you help others, when you do readings for them too, don't you think sometimes all it takes is, to be able to sit and listen to somebody and to be able to say it's valid, whatever comes out of your mouth or your thoughts or your heart.
Oh,
really?
Absolutely. They have to, their experiences and their feelings are very, they have to acknowledge them. Absolutely. There's no right or wrong. And it's important to hear what they are saying, how they are saying it. Because in reality, the living loved one is the one I'm trying to heal, not the one who passed. The one who passed is wonderful. They are total peace.
I know there's a lot of physicians that are having so many issues these days, and they're saying, what's really going on here? I go to work, I feel burnout, things aren't working for me. And I think it's really the evolution of healers these days. They're starting to really amp up their consciousness. They're really amping up their inner self-love. They're really amping up the inside of seeing how people are really, really, really needing some help and support. And sometimes when we're not able to provide that for everyone or not to be able to be with it for everyone or that others aren't open to that yet, I think sometimes it creates a little bit of a turbulent kind of chaos. You know, we see this with healthcare. People are fighting within healthcare. You know, we see it with in other systems in the world, and we're saying, what are they fighting against, you know?
Right. No, it's true. If they, again, if we could all see through each other's eyes what they're going through and what they're feeling, we have to do that. And again, in reality, we're all one. So it's important to see through other people's eyes. Maybe you don't agree with what they're saying, and that's okay. You don't have to change your
mm-hmm.
opinion, but to try to see why they feel what they feel. You know, maybe for whatever reason. You have to go through it.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you think when you talk about the we consciousness that mm-hmm. I think that, you know, over decades, 50s, 60s, 70s, you know, 50s and 60s were survival. 70 was the love they tried. You know, 80s were all about the I. It's all about me, you know. And then, you know, in the years 2000, it was all about, oh, how dare you take it away from, quote, me.
Mm-hmm.
And then now we are where we are, and we're saying, what do we do now? It's almost like everybody kind of like had to shed their identity, they've lost a lot of things like houses or money or cars, their businesses. So kind of in a way, the world is really, and history is really kind of trying to shake us up to be able to come to this, do you think?
I think we needed to experience all this to see what we wanted to grow into and evolve into. You really don't realize when something is what we want until something is going wrong. And that's when you have all these, the children in the high schools, you know, saying, no, guns are not right for us, you know. And they're,
right.
I'm not saying they're fighting against, because when you fight against something, it doesn't work. But they're being for, you know, peace in the schools. So
mm-hmm.
when you do it in that way, just like Mother Teresa said, you know, I'll never march in anti-war, but if you march in the peace demonstration, I'll be there. So it's important
mm-hmm.
to focus on what you do want, which is peace or love.
Right. Yeah, I think sometimes when people are speaking out and they're saying these things, I say, oh, that's fantastic, versus fighting and saying, oh, my gosh, and then dragging along the dialogue. Because
right.
when it's fantastic that they're speaking out, it's because now there's an opportunity to say, perhaps we might try it this way. Maybe there's
mm-hmm.
another way.
Mm-hmm.
And then that brings, and it's sort of like a door opener, you know what
right.
I mean?
Room for discussion. Right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And talk for a second about the word God. Many people will say, who's God? Your God? My God? Which God is there? You know? And really, I think when we're talking about God, we're not talking about religion.
No.
Per se.
There's a big difference between religious people and spiritual people. And I mean, it's a silly word, but the difference. But God is source energy, the energy of who we are from, and we are all one. So we're part of that same energy. And if we could realize and understand who we are and the power we have within us, not out there in the sky, we could create miracles in our lives. So that's a big difference. When I say religion, it doesn't mean that religion is wrong. Some people get great comfort from religion. But what I'm
mm-hmm.
saying is some religions are just saying this is the only way to go there. And, you know, in reality, there are different paths to the same destination. And to acknowledge everyone we should respect everyone's traditions and what they believe to be so.
You know, it's so funny. I used to play the pipe organ when I was in the 60s. For church, when the priest was still doing the Latin Mass, and
yeah,
I would play the organ and sing the Latin Mass with them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember I was only in fourth grade. So how tiny was I then? I have no idea, you know. Well, you know, only when I look back and reflect on it, I go, holy darn, I can't believe I did that. But anyway,
mm-hmm.
I can remember so many times when I sing, even my daughter would say, oh, my gosh, mother, please, you know, because I'm so flat. I have zero tone and I'm not a singer. However, I would always still do it anyway. And I would put my foot down on that pedal and ramp it up as loud as it could go. And I always remember I would be singing at the highest, you know, I could possibly sing, and turn around, look at the priest, and everybody would be looking at me to see what the heck was I doing, you know, or who that was. But I kind of wasn't even connected with that. I was kind of connected in the moment,
I
you know, kind of connected in the energy of the time. Mm-hmm. And I think back on that and I say, you know, all of those times I was really connected truly in the energy of the moment. It had nothing to do with who else is in the church. I was singing to God and everybody get out of my way, you know.
I love it. Yes. You're honoring your right. What I tell people, honor your truth over society's demands. You know, what do they expect of you? It doesn't matter. You loved it. You sang. You know, singing, that's your passion. By the way, you were in fourth grade and you're playing the pipe organ. Wow.
That's not weird.
That's great.
Yeah, I think back on it and I'll go, and it, and the mass is in Latin, so I was singing Latin. And
we didn't know what they were saying, right? Back then it was like, what are they saying?
that was when religion was a mystery. You know what I mean? Because the priest had his back to you. And I think kind of now that we've taken away the mystery of, quote, religion, a lot of people became disenchanted with it or whatever you want to call it. And when you started to translate the words, it really took away the mystique of the whole thing and turned it into, I remember when they put a guitar in the church, it was, and took away the organ, it was like, oh, are you kidding me? I'm not going to church anymore. You know what I mean?
The folk masses, right? They had the folk masses.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because it was like, it was just turning into be like more of a party instead of a religion to me. You know, it was, it took away the mystery. It took away the whatever it was, and that's when I went on the spiritual part. It was like, that was interesting, you know. It was like, oh, why did you do that? Now you made it like your everyday life, but it isn't, you know what I mean? I wanted it to be so special, you know?
Right.
It's interesting. I think so many times people will say, but God has failed me when they get ill. God has failed me when or my end of life comes too early, or God has failed me when all these terrible things happen. What are your thoughts on that? Because I think a lot of times people will say, I must have done something wrong,
or I didn't
do anything good enough,
no.
Or I think all of their human kind of qualifications seem to come up for a review, don't you think?
We don't realize why things happened when we're still here on earth, but certainly God isn't punishing us that we're not good enough. So we will understand it after we leave the physical body. And many times we bring things into our own lives because our subconscious is telling us that we need something. Like, for example, I have seen, not that we want to be ill, but sometimes when people are ill, they get closer to their families or they don't have to work or something like that. Now, we don't want to be ill for that to happen. But, you know, sometimes people just are not changing their job and they hate it and they hate their life and all of this. And finally, their body just says, forget it. I want to rest. And it gets sick. So sometimes we don't understand it, but it's not that God is punishing it, you know, us. Not at all.
Right. Yeah, I think to be able to be open to things and saying, okay, this is for today. A lot of times elders will say to me, just because I'm up here moving today does not mean I'm not in pain. It just means I'm not suffering or I'm not wearing that label today. So I think sometimes when we say the parts of our life that are working or not working, do we consistently say them over and over and over again as though they are who we are versus ourselves? You know what I mean?
Right.
In other words, it always seems like, you know, it's my disease, it's my pain, it's my my horrible life situations, when really none of that really is true.
Well, you don't want to acknowledge it to be so. If you say, I have the C word or I am this, you're acknowledging it. And every time you state an affirmation, it makes it so and it makes it more prevalent in your life. And since we are vibrational beings, and the more you say it, the more it makes it happen. We don't understand the power of our thoughts and feelings, because if we did, we'd be very careful about what we're feeling and thinking. We'd say, I want to unplug from that negativity. I want to plug into health. I want to plug into peace. Instead of, okay, you acknowledge what's going on. This is happening, but I want to be healthy. You know, I want to plug into solutions instead of the problems. That's very important.
Even though the issue could still continue. Sometimes, you know, if you're an elder and your knees are really bothering you, you may have decades of knee pain, but it doesn't define you. It doesn't.
No, of course.
But really, still, it could be that you're not out there running. It could be that you're not out there able to walking around the store all the time. But that's still okay, because you might be sitting at home and reading. You might be sitting at home and talking to people. You might be sitting at home and enjoying your animals. You're mm-hmm. still engaged in life, because life continues, right?
Absolutely.
You know, I think the idea that what are we going to give up to be able to be in this present life? Sometimes people are giving up and selling their souls, as they say. And I think when they sell their soul, they say, oh, I have to have a house, I have to this, I have to that. It kind of takes away from the idea of exactly why they are here, which
yes.
brings us right back to the beginning of our conversation, is what is our purpose, our mission, and why are we here in the first place?
We're here to God realization, to realize the power we have within ourselves, that to realize the love that we are and everyone else is. That's the power. That's the most important mission on earth, to love everyone and everything. And when you do that, the whole world will be a better place. But most people, you know, you're going for the house, the cars, and you think that's going to bring you happiness. And it will, you know, mm-hmm. very briefly. But did you ever see very wealthy people? They're not happy. Why is that? It's within themselves. They just are not happy people. They're not looking on the positive in life. They're focusing on what's wrong. So the more you focus on what's right and what you want instead of what's wrong, the more that will happen in your life as well. So our purpose, to create love in our life, to realize God realization of who we really are and the interconnectivity of everyone and everything.
And I think so many times people will say, oh, okay, so I got that, and that was like happened in my mind and my thoughts in 2 seconds. Now what do I do with the rest of my day?
You know? If you really get it, if you really
right,
get it.
Right, you know what I'm saying?
And feel it. You have
yeah.
peace no matter what's going on. If you, you know, wherever you are, if you live in an apartment, if you live in a mansion, if you have a small car, a big car, not, you know, if you make a lot of money, if you
mm-hmm.
don't. Of course it makes you happy if you have a lot of money, because you could do the things you would like to do. And you don't have to worry about, you know, paying the bills and all of that. Of course. So money can bring happiness, but it doesn't bring all the happiness in your life. Happiness is within you. It's nothing external.
Yeah, it's, I think sometimes, I know from my own experiences, there are several people surrounded outside of myself, and over the decades, and they pretty much have lived their entire existence unhappy. Mm-hmm. And you would say, is that really true? And I would say, every single time you see, feel, interact with these people, they're always unhappy, because they don't know what happiness is. Talking about being able to say, do we always want to be unhappy? I think many people aren't sure of the word, what does happy mean? Does happy mean we are upbeat all the time? We are pushing up daisies and, you know, lollipops are grown in our backyard. Sometimes happiness is almost misconstrued as the word, just as love is, because people think it's romantic love we're talking
right.
about.
Right.
Or when we think about joy, we say, oh, I'm perky, I'm happy, I am the life of the party, and that goes misconstrued too.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes we take these common words and we say, over history, how have those words evolved, and have they evolved enough to be inclusive to where we are today?
Right, that's true. I think being happy is just being at peace, that you're at
mm-hmm.
peace. Yeah.
Right, and I mean, like, love is just totally different. And they're like, well, you
it's
know,
different types
it
of
doesn't
love.
Right, it doesn't show up like I'm expecting it to, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think the idea of what is love going to, because love to many people is, what am I going to get from it? You know, it has to be if I'm going to give it, I got to be able to get something back. There is no one-way road here, because then they'll say, oh, well, I'm giving out too much. I'm sure you've heard that among a lot of spiritual people. Give, 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 you know, and then you end up with nothing. And it's sort of like, oh, where are we going here, you know, that conversation, right?
It's but oftentimes in giving you do receive, but not if you give too much, and you know, at that you don't want to be taken advantage of, as you know either. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
How does the word unconditional fit into all of those paradigms? Is unconditional love, is unconditional giving, is unconditional peace and joy more where we're going or more where we are looking to find versus being able to saying, I'm doing this because, I'm sharing that because, and it's always something else. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Unconditional love is what, like, such a parent has for her children, his or her children, or, you know, you no matter what. That's what we're looking to accomplish in life, and that's unconditional love with everyone and everything.
I think sometimes when we sit down and we say, connect for the moment, just close your eyes and just sit still and just breathe once or twice. That's the peace. Period.
Absolutely.
There isn't anything else, you know?
That's it. Peace within.
Right. And then also, too, if you could say, sit down, close your eyes, cross your hands, you know, hug them to your shoulders, breathe once or twice, that's love. If you could just take those two simple times and say, when all of my other world, 99.9% of the world is whatever it is, if you took those 2 seconds and those two breaths, mm-hmm. You could say, this is what it feels like. Oh, how can I recognize that more throughout my day? Isn't that really what we're talking about?
Oh, absolutely. Perfectly said. Yes. Yes.
You know, I think sometimes we get so wrapped up in the idea of where we're going, how we're going to get there, and we don't recognize that we already have, just as we said, within ourselves. And to sit with that for that 1 second, we might just be able to connect with that. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes we aren't sure that it is as simple as that. We are not sure that it's okay to be that simple because many people have not experienced that, don't you think?
Unfortunately, I think that's true, and if more people did that, they would feel the peace that we're talking about. They really would. They just have to go within themselves and stop that mind, like always. Their mind is going a mile a minute. I say, stop that chatter if you can. Focus on your breath. You know, do something like that. Or else you're not going to feel, when we were talking about God, when you're able to quiet your thoughts and, you know, you're able to tap into the source within you. Because not if your mind's going a mile a minute. The source energy, the angels, they just can't get in that way.
Yeah. It's so funny when you just said that, Karen, because many times I would have readings and things, and they would say, oh, my gosh, you just talk to us all the time. Don't you ever talk to humans? And it's like, no. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, it's just I'm constantly going. And when I go to quiet my mind, all I get is in two breaths, and it's like in my head because I'm already tapped into that other space, and, you know, we're just constantly talking all the time. So it's sort of like I've always called myself the multidimensional person because so many times I hear so many levels, and I'll start a sentence with two or three words, and it'll go off, and there'll be another one with two or three words, another one with two or three words, and it's like, oh, this is so much fun, you know? And I think of people when we say, people are saying they're starting to feel scattered. I say to them, oh, cool, are you starting to connect with the other people too? You know? I always want to make light of it because it then opens up the space. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sometimes then people don't feel that they're being squashed or held back. You know, a lot of times people will say, oh, my gosh, did you see that over there? And they might be seeing angels, and you just don't even know it. You know, even when we spoke about your book today, your book cover, I said, oh, did you see that angel, Karen, on the front of your book, or did that being? And it's like you're going, no. But to be able to honor that, I think, is what's opening it up, because this we consciousness, this being present with God or seeing or sensing things, eventually other people are saying, you know, I can hear the angels. I can hear a sense. Oh, my gosh, you know, something appeared to me the other day, or, you know, a leaf fell off when I was thinking about something and it fell right into my hand. You know, to be able to acknowledge the world around us and all of its mysteries is grander than saying, oh, is that how it's supposed to be? Let me see, is it a scientific theory? Is it written in the book? Is it bibliography, right?
Oh, well, all of these things, when we ask for signs from the angels, we'll get them. I call them without a doubt signs. So when that leaf does fall into your hand, say, thank you. And it's, you know, it's
right.
Not just Karen Noe that can get the signs. It's every one of us can get signs. We just have to ask, give me a sign, let me know you're there, and then be patient and wait, and the signs will come when you least expect it.
And be open to whatever it is, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, Karen, it's such a pleasure to have you with us today to speak with us about sharing your thoughts and stories, because many times people will say, really kind of hear the words of, seen them a lot. I've tried to study them. I have tried to find experts and gurus to bring me along the path. And I think if you just sit and just speak and just share with others about random words, expanding our language, just never know what will show up, right?
Absolutely. Be open to receive and you will.
Absolutely. Karen, can you share with our listeners how to find out more information about you? That would be wonderful.
Sure. You could go to my website at karennoe.com. Let me spell that. That's KarenNoe.com. And you could find everything, all of my books and teaching classes, traveling around the country to promote We Consciousness.
Well, Karen, it was such a pleasure to have you with us. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on. Have a great day.
Thank you. If you'd like to find out more information about Karen Noe, again, her book is We Consciousness, 33 Profound Truths for Inner and Outer Peace. Please do check out the link on the bottom of today's show page and go directly to her website. And really, it is all okay. No matter what it is okay. Sit still, crush your arms in front of you, hold on, give yourself a hug. You're loved, you're cared for, and you are validated in the world around you. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. Till tomorrow, have a great day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.